It's really wild. All right, I guess that separates us from the big tzaddik. What to aspire to. Okay, so where are we holding? We are on page Lamed. We ended off last time. By starting to wade into the waters of the Rambam's knowledge of Kabbalah or lack thereof. Right, and he asked the question in Os Yud on page Chaf Ches. He asked the question, how do we know that the Mesorah was passed on? How do we know that it was kept? And he essentially showed us how all of the great poskim, the Rishonim, who we live in and learn, Ramban, the Ravid, the Ritva, the Rashba, These are the pillars of the Mesorah in terms of Kabbalah. But he's still bothered, again, the questioner, so to speak, in Os Yud Beis, is still bothered by the fact, but how could the Rambam not know? In other words, we ended off also by saying that so many of the great works of Kabbalah were written by Tanaim. Zohar, the Sefer Abahir, Pirkei HaChalos, Rashbi, Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana. Meaning, if we somehow got the Gemara, so how did we lose all the Kabbalah? And if the Rambam had all the other books of the Tanaim, so why didn't he have... These were real books of the Tanaim, so why didn't the Rambam have them? Okay, so let's see, in Os Yud Beis. Im kein efo shahad ga'onim, on page Lamed. Im kein efo shahad ga'onim v'habam achareim haisu biyadam kabbalah misisrei Torah. So if it's true that the ga'onim and so many of the great Rishonim had these works of Kabbalah, so he says, it's a pella in my eyes. How could it be the Rambam who compiled and who was like the source where all of Torah was gathering and being refined? How could it be he didn't get his hands on these books? They didn't come his way? Now, you could stop right there and say, no, these books did not come his way for whatever reason. But how could it be? Asher lo sasum lo amamu. That there was, paraphrasing and puzzling in the Cheskel, there was nothing that was concealed or hidden from him. If these are the Chibur HaTanaim, if these are the writings of the Tanaim, so how could it be that the Rambam got Shas, but he didn't get these books? Never saw them, never heard of them. How did the Rambam not see any of these? He doesn't even make mention of them. You almost think that they came to exist in much later times. And who knows who wrote them? So he answers very strong. He says, hold on. He says, don't be so surprised. Yehoyada answers in Yud Gimel. Shouldn't be such a pella. Imnelmu me'ene ha-Rambam zal. It doesn't have to be shocking to you if the Rambam missed something. Ki lo kol adam zocha l'kol ha-chachmos. Because first of all, not everyone is zocha to understand everything. Now, you're going to see how he goes back and forth between did the Rambam have it and not understand it, or did the Rambam not have it? So if you're bothered by the question, how could he not have it? So he starts off by saying, well, maybe he did have it, and you know how he didn't quote it? You know how he didn't quote it? I'll tell you why he didn't quote it. Because I imagine for many of us, if we ever write a Sefer, right? If we ever write a Sefer, we're zocheh to write a Sefer, whether it's a Peirush on Shas, or it's a commentary on the Chumash, or it's a work of Machshava, I imagine we're not going to quote a lot from Sefer Raziel HaMalach. You know why? Because we don't understand it. So I'm not going to quote it in my book because I have no idea what it is. I know it exists. I've heard of it. It doesn't mean anything to me because I don't know how to unlock it. It's a book of secrets. So it could be, he says, it shouldn't be a surprise to us that not everyone is zocha to understand everything. And again, he starts back in the Gemara. Halo tire ki shem ben yudbez osios v'chein shem membez. The 12-letter name of God, the 42-letter name of God, which is discussed openly, he says, by the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin, Daf Ayin Aleph. Ve'yiflegu sham b'mailas mishi odeya shem membeis haniskar. And the Gemara speaks about the greatness of understanding these things. So did the Rambam understand that? Did the Rambam not have that Gemara? You want to tell me he didn't have the Zohar, he didn't have the Sefer Abayir. He had this Gemara, why didn't he write about it? You know why he didn't write about it? You know why the Rambam didn't write about the 42-letter name of God? Because he didn't understand it. You know why he didn't understand it? Because he didn't have a Rebbe to teach him Kabbalah. Ne'elam inyana meharambam zal. Im kochach maso betalmid. He knew the Gemara, but he didn't know how to read that line. He didn't know how the secret of that line. Ukamosha hodehu ba'atzmo b'mor, as the Rambam himself admits in the Mor Nevuchim. I don't really know what some of these things are talking about. So we'll see that some areas of Jewish mysticism, the Rambam adopted a different approach, which our Rebbe here, the Shomer Amunim, is going to criticize very strongly. But there's some areas where the Rambam said, I don't really know what this is. The same way you and I don't know what it is. Va'afal gav sheyesh kabbalah alav mirabenu haigon, as quoted by the Rashba and the Tshuva, even though we have Rav Haigon and the Rashba talking about the shame membeis, so it's not like the Rambam didn't know about it. He knew about it. His contemporaries knew about it. And yet, im kol zeh lo higiu advar mal ozen harambam zeh. The Rambam didn't know how to make heads or tails out of it. He didn't know how to understand it. Now, furthermore, it could be va'od efshar, he says in the bottom paragraph, shegam harambam ra sefer yitzira v'shar chibur etanayim. So that's just I just showed you a Gemara that talks about secret names of God, which the Rambam couldn't understand. So it could be that the Rambam saw all these books. He just didn't know. He didn't know how to learn them. He didn't know what to do with them. The same way, again, we could go to the library and take out a big stack of Kabbalah books and it would mean nothing to us because we don't have the keys to unlock them. It could be the Rambam saw Sefer Yetzirah, B'Shar Chiburei HaTanayim. It could be he saw all these works of the Tanayim. V'hayu be'einav k'divrei Sefer HaChasum. And it was like a closed book to him. It didn't mean anything to him. Ki b'vada ha'gamor, because with certainty, stumim v'chasumim ha'dvarim, etzel kol adam, shelo kibel pe'el pe ha'maftechos, because anyone, every one of us who has not yet had a Rebbe who taught us how to unlock these books mean nothing to us. We don't know what they contain. You need a Rebbe. Puk Chazi, come and see what the Ramban writes at the end of his commentary in his Peirush on Bereishis, as some of us dabbled in it earlier this week, where the Ramban says, I'm writing a commentary on Chumash, and I'm going to write a lot of Kabbalah. Whenever the Ramban introduces a paragraph of Kabbalah, he says, Al derech ha'emes. But the Ramban gives a disclaimer at the end of his Hakdama to his commentary on Chumash. He says, Va'ani hin mimevi bebrisne emenes. Hi anosenes eitza hogenes. He's writing very, he rhymes at the beginning, poetry. I give a firm declaration, sound advice. L'chol mistakel b'sefer hazeh. You want to learn the Ramban on Chumash? Some paragraphs you can learn. Some paragraphs, don't try to figure them out. If you have a Rebbe who can tell you what I'm trying to say, then good. Don't try to solve these codes, these secrets on your own. Laval yisvor svar. Don't start saying logical explanations, your understanding. Va'al yachshom machshav es hadavar mikol haramazim asher ani kosei besisrei haTorah. Don't start darshening up my secrets. If you have the keys, unlock it. If you don't have the keys, find the Rebbe to give you the keys. Ki ani modio ne'emana shelo yusgu devarai v'lo yivadu klal b'shom seichel lubina. Because no human mind of its own rationale and own logic will be able to unlock these secrets. So that's how an Arthur translated the Ramban. They took it all out. This is beyond the scope of our translation. They took the whole thing out. But that was what the Ramban wanted. The Ramban said, right, unless it's going to be taught pe'el pe'. Rabbi the Talmud, a Talmud who is roy to receive. Right? Look what he says, the last two lines. Zulasi mipi mekubal chacham. If your Rebbe is an emistic mekubal, and he gives it over, la'ozen mekabel maven. He gives it over to an ear that's fit to receive. But don't try to crack the codes on your own. You're going to end up saying kfira. You're going to misinterpret very deep things. V'chol shekein v'chal v'chomer divrei sefer yitzira v'sefer habahir. Again, if you don't know how to open up these books and to solve their secrets, you're not going to understand them at all. You're wasting your time. If you don't have a Rebbe who's a Mekubal to show you the secrets, you're not going to solve the secrets on your own. V'lo od ela. If a person doesn't have a mesorah of this wisdom, like the Rambam himself admitted in discussing, like we learned Right, when the Rambam tries to explain Maisa Bereishis, Maisa Merkava, he admits, I don't really know, I don't have a clear besorah of this, but here's my understanding. The Rambam admitted that he doesn't have a Malamed for Sisrei Torah. So if a person tries to read the Zohar on his own, right, so he'll see all sorts of strange things. He'll see things that sound like kfira, because if you don't know what you're reading, he'll see kama dvarim shemorim gashmus or gashamus velukus. He'll read things that seem to describe the physicality of God. But one of the principles of our faith, even though not all Rishonim agreed to it, but we normally assume that Hashem doesn't have a body. Right? Now again, this is not just a question on the Zohar, because the Torah also talks about the Etz Belokim and the Zroah and the Tuya. But in the Zohar, it talks even more about the structure, right, of Elokus. What do you mean the structure of Elokus? Kigon Gulgalta talks about the skull. It talks about Sa'ara, talks about Hashem's hair. Hashem doesn't have hair. Hashem doesn't have a skull. Metzcha, Udnin, Anpin. It talks about the forehead, it talks about the ears, it talks about the Anpin, the Panim. It talks about the face. V'kiyotze, and the like. B'li Safik. So a person who doesn't know what he's looking at, there's no doubt he's going to sit there. Sheyif arpiv, his mouth is going to be wide open. Levili chok neged sefer machabro. He's going to be screaming, this is kfir, this is heresy, burn these books. This is anti-Torah. And even if he was absolutely certain that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the author, he would still say, I'm not makabel these words. I don't care who wrote this. This is heresy. Lo yikabel dvarav. Because you don't know what you're reading. Teida sharei davar pashut atzlenu. Venizbar im kein begemaru u'midrashim bekav makomos. Sheish koach b'shemos v'kameos lasos pu'ulos neflos. But we should know that again, you can't deny the facts. There are Gemaras that talk about a kameya. What's a kameya? An amulet. An amulet that has all sorts of funny things written in it that you're allowed, the Gemara talks about it in terms of carrying on Shabbos. You're allowed to wear an amulet. Right, is that considered wearing? Is that considered carrying? Kudamrina b'Shabbos, yoytzin b'kameya mumcha. If you have an amulet that was written by an expert mystic, it has magical powers, you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. V'chein amru demosha harig es ha-mitzri b'shem. What do you do with a medrash that says, how did Moshe kill the Mitzri? You know what it says in the medrash? Not in the Zohar. Mainstream medrash. Medrash Rabbah. Moshe killed the Mitzri by uttering a name of God. He struck him dead with the name of God. So what do you do? You're going to start saying some funny explanation? No, what it means was, he had a sword, had the name of God, and then he just killed him with a sword. That's not what it says. He killed him with the name of Hashem. He uttered the name of Hashem and killed him. Or how about the Gemara Yevamos that says that when Yeshaya was running from the evil king Menashe, strange Gemara, Omar Shem, he said a name of Hashem, Ve'evla Ba'arza, and he like turned into a cedar tree. He went into the trunk, he got stuck in the trunk of a cedar tree. It had magic powers. It's a Gemara. So you're going to start reinterpreting these Gemaras to say funny things? Or how about this? When David HaMelech, Shekara David as Hashisen, when David was digging up the pipes beneath Beis HaMikdash, Kos of shame achasba v'zarku l'tom, and the water was going to flood the world. The Gemara says, the Gemara at the end of Sukkah Nun Gimel. So he took a pottery shard and he wrote the name, some magical name of God on it, and he threw it into the water, and the water stopped rising. V'keela dvarim rabim b'divrei Chazal. There's so many Gemaras and Midrashim like this, as the Rashba describes in his Tshuva. V'hu haRambam, and now he says strong. He says, and the Rambam made a mockery of these things. The Rambam, why do you have to, what? If you know the secrets, all these things make a lot of sense. But if you think the names of God is a big joke, so then you have to say all these funny things. But HaRambam, kichish b'zeh, he denied this. V'ligleg harbe al ha-mamin sheyesh koach b'shemos lasas shum pa'ula. The Rambam said, nah, it's irrational for a person to believe. He mocked the fact that you can write different names of God and they have powers. K'mo shetira dvar b'mora, as the Rambam writes in the Mora Nevuchim. For the Rambam, apparently the Gemaras that talk about the powers of names of God, it wasn't good enough for the Rambam. Now he's saying it very critically of the Rambam, but again, the more innocent way to look at it is say he just didn't know what these things are. He didn't have access to them. He didn't have the keys. He didn't know how to unlock it. And there are a lot of people throughout history who screamed at the Rambam about this. Right? What do you do? He says in the next paragraph, what do you do with the shadim? What do you do with the demons? Gam yadua da chazal kiblu mitzias ha-shadim. So you don't, do you believe in those or you don't believe in those? Right? The Rambam has to come with all funny ways to explain all these Gemaras. Umaisak shafim, witchcraft. Is it a real thing or not a real thing? The Torah seems to think it's a real thing. But the Torah is saying, don't fall for sleight of hand. Or the Torah is saying, no, there's real dark arts out there and watch out for it. The Rambam says all this stuff is made up stuff. You're knocking out Gemaras left and right. You're knocking out Midrashim. And if you think that these things are true and the Torah prohibited these things, then you're just you're an ignoramus who believes foolish stuff. That's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So says the Shomer Emunim, you're knocking out Pesukim in Chumash. You're the one who's saying all the strange things in order to explain. So the magicians in Mitzrayim, all those stories in Shemos, when they're turning sticks into snakes and things like that, or they're saying Etzba Elokim, or they're changing water into blood, was all sleight of hand? It was just good magic tricks? Or was real powers? What was the Torah talking about? What they did with their enchantments and the like. V'inyan balas ov, and the Torah talks about the prohibition of ov and yidoni. The way Rashi reads it on Chumash, it's talking about real magic. V'kiyotze b'kama psukim hamorah mitziusam. So many psukim that speak to the truth of powers, of witches, of demons, of malachim. So you're going to say, no, none of that's true, because I've never seen it with my physical eyes, because I don't know what these things mean. But what did all the philosophers do? Hechishim. They denied all these things. Ubadu lahem peirushim rechokim vizarim ala psukim. They came up with all sorts of far-fetched explanations, weird ways of interpreting these psukim, and just moving everything away from what the Torah actually says. Kedei shelo yachloku al deoseim. Just to fit it so it doesn't contradict their worldview. V'lo chashashu l'divrei chazal. What about all the Ma'amar Chazal that talk about the truth of demons and witchcraft? It doesn't fit with my understanding, so therefore it's not true. That's how you're going to interpret everything. This is the way of the philosophers. This is the way of those who everything has to be b'shikol hadas. It has to be rational sense to me. If it doesn't fit my understanding and my logic, then I throw the whole thing out. Is that how we want to learn Torah? That my mind is the be-all and end-all of the Torah. So he says again, top of page Lamed Beis. V'lachein efshar dekevan shebesvar manizkar shel atanaim. You're right. If you try to learn Sefer Yetzirah by yourself, you're just going to get dizzy. You try to learn Sefer by yourself, Pirkei HaChalos, you're not going to have a clue. You learn the Zohar, you're going to end up saying Kfira Dika ideas. The ideas on a Shitchis, I mean superficial, on a superficial Pshat level, they're Zohar, they're strange, and they don't fit with the rational human mind. Oh, hey, mikat hanimna. It's impossible to accept such a thing. Unless you've got the keys, you're not going to get anywhere. So in other words, let's go back. What was the question? The question was, why does the Rambam not quote these books? So says our Rebbe, maybe he did have these books. They say, well, you have these books, but you don't quote them at your Dvar Torah at the Shabbos table either, because you have no idea what they're talking about, because you don't have a Rebbe in Kabbalah. So they're closed books to you. They don't mean anything to you. So the Rambam also, why does Rambam not quote them? He thought these were outlying books. He didn't know that this is fundamentals of Jewish thought. Hagam shenis yachzu al tanaim, even though they're written by the Halakha Tanaim, the same authors of the Mishnah. Ki kamo zar nechshuv etzlam. It's like foreign material. Lios ne'edar me'kabbalah, pel peh. They didn't have the Mesorah. So don't be shocked that the Rambam doesn't quote these things. Shum davar me'inyan sefer yetzira, sefer bahir, pirkei echol, sefer azar. It could be the Rambam had these books, but they sat on the shelf the same way they're sitting in the YU library, and you've never checked them out either. So don't be so angry at the Rambam. How does he not quote these? If he had access. He has access like we have access. They're books on the shelf. They don't mean anything to us either. We should be zochet to find the Rebbe who can teach us these things, and we should be, you know, we should be worthy of swimming out into these waters. Now, what he does next is super interesting. He says, there are indications that maybe the Rambam at the end of his life was finally given the keys. You kind of want that to be true, right? You kind of want that the punchline is that the Rambam became a chassid, you know? Like the great Rambam at the end, he came to... I don't know. Again, I haven't researched it in a, you know, I'm not a historian. There are many who question some of these sources. They come from interesting places. I'll just show you what it says here. But at the end of the day, we don't have to make, and this is an important point, and he'll come back to it, but I want to say it Meirosh. You don't have to make the Rambam into a Makubal to save Kabbalah. It's not like if the Rambam wasn't into it, so then it's the whole thing's thrown out. Because you still got the Raivin, you still got the Rokeach, you still got the Rashma, you still got the Ramban, you still got the Ritva, you still got plenty of others. So the fact, it's much easier to say the Rambam didn't have the keys, didn't have the access, was not Zocha to have a Rebbe in Kabbalah, right? And Kabbalah is still true. And period. If you want, and you want to say that the Rambam at the end of his life found out the truth of these things and wrote letters saying, if I would have found it earlier, then I would have retracted certain things. Okay, I'll show you what he says here. V'im tirtzeh lahamin. Now, he's not pushing it. That's an important lashon there. V'im tirtzeh lahamin. If you want to believe what I'm about to show you, fine. But if you don't want to believe it, if you want the Rambam to end his life as a rational philosopher who never understood a single word of Kabbalah, that's also okay. And the Rambam still loses, so to speak, to the majority who say that this is the truth of our Masorah. This is Maisa Merkava. This is Maisa Bereishis. These are the secrets of the inner world of Torah, Sisrei Torah. So if you want to believe, he says, Im tirtze lahamin el mashanim tzav kasu b'sifrei achronim, what we find in some more recent svarim. Now again, when he says achronim, you have to remember who we're learning here. Right, so what he's calling achronim, right, is, I guess, compared to Rashi and the Rambam and the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra, right, 11 to 13th century. Right, so he's calling achronim, I don't know, 15th century. Fine. We would also call that, you know, early achronim, I guess. Right, but he's saying, if you want it, what I've seen in more recent sources, and you'll see what he says. Hine gam ha-Rambam b'sof yomav zocha lekabel zos ha-chachma m'pi mekubel. The Rambam at the end of his life, he met, right, you can just picture this like strange encounter. The Rambam, after all he had accomplished, he finds this Eliyahu HaNavi looking person comes to him and he says, I want to teach you something you don't know. He met a mekubel. As we find in one of the commentaries on the Ramban, one of the super commentaries on the Ramban in Parsha by B'Shalach, that there was a certain Rabbi Yaakov who was halach l'Mitzrayim, where the Rambam was, u'maser ha-kabbalah l'harambam. And he came to the Rambam and he taught the Rambam Kabbalah. U'lerov simchaso ba hayimishtabeach ba l'talmidav. And the Rambam was so excited about this, he told all his students, yeah, wow, I just discovered this incredible thing, you got to get involved with it. Amnam lo zacha l'zeh ad karv l'achrez yamav. Ad kan l'sham. The Rambam only discovered it at the very end of his life. More than that, he says that Rav Yitzchak Abarbanel, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos and the Nachlas Avos, Kosov Bezal Lashon, listen to this. Vegam ani shamati. Again, there was a Masorah floating around. 1500s, early 1600s, there was a Masorah floating around. Sha'arav Hagadol Hamaimoni, that the Halakha Rambam, Kosov Beigeres Shalo Elo Advarm, that the Rambam wrote the following thing in a letter. Bisof Yamai Ba Elai Odom Echor. At the end of my life, I met a person. Va'amrli Dvarim Shaltam. And he told me very meaningful things. Look at this line. Ve'elule sha'ayisi b'sof yamai, v'nispashtu chiburai ba'olam. Had I not already been at the end of my life, and my work's already, you know, my book's already out, I can't get all my books back and rewrite them. But if I was still in the middle of just producing my philosophy, my Mor Nevuchim, if I was just beginning to write my worldview, Hayisi Chozer bi Midvarim Rabim Shekasafti, that I would retract many of the things that I said. I wouldn't build so much on Plato and Aristotle. I'd build on the secrets of Kabbalah. And even though, again, this letter says, I met someone who taught me meaningful things, Abar Benel writes, Ve'ein Safek Shedivrei Kabbalah Hayu Asher Shama B'Sof Yama. And what he's referring to when the Rambam says, I learned some new things, he's referring to this. Now, if this is true, that's incredible. If it's true that the Rambam really, at the end of his life, met a Mekubal and says, I would have, first of all, like some of us were learning on Sunday, you know, right, the Gemara that talks about Shimon HaMsuni. Shimon HaMsuni set out to darshan every S in the Torah, and then he got stuck on one of them, and he said, you know what, if I can't say an emesdik pshat, then I'll throw out my whole work. So that's incredibly incredible. You see the truthfulness of the Rambam, that he's willing to say, right, I wish I could retract certain things. I can't. Practically, I can't. But the Rambam was not scared to learn something new. I have to tell you one of my favorite stories. Did I tell you this story about Rav Shach? Did I mention this in one of the...
With Rav Tzadok,
yeah. So, Rabbi Yaakov Haber, Shlita, from Eretz Yisrael. So when I first met my wife, who was from Muncie, so Rabbi Haber was the Rav of her shul. Very interesting personality. Runs... What's the name of the...
Mosaica
Press, thank you. Mosaica Press, other things, interesting author, gives very interesting shiurim. Anyway, so Rabbi Haver, when he first came to Eretz Yisrael, he went to speak one time to Rav Shach about certain inyanim in Chinuch. Chinuch as a Rebbe, Chinuch for his own children. He went to meet with Rav Shach. And he came to Rav Shach, and he took along, he said, for the car ride... For his ride to Bnei Brak, or the taxi to Bnei Brak, he took along, he had a copy of Tzidkos HaTzadik from a Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin with him. Okay. My favorite works of Chassidus. Rav Tzadik also is an interesting story. Tzadik started off as a lamdan, as a halachist, who became a chassid, right? From his encounter with the Ishvitzer Rebbe. Anyway, so he takes along this sefer to learn in the car. Alright, he comes to Rav Shach. Rav Shach sees, he sits down. Rav Shach sees he has a sefer in his hand. He says, what do you have? So he says, Tzidkos HaTzadik, or Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. So Rav Shach says, he obviously heard of it. He's like, but I haven't really learned it much. Maybe you could show me something. Rav Shach was like 100 years old. Rav Shiva Panovich, you know, author of the Avi Ezri on the Rama. Like, we're talking about, you know, like, a real gadol of the yeshiva shevelt. So he shows him a piece in Rav Tzadik. Rav Shach, like, he's literally over 100 years old, or close to 100 years old. Rav Shach started crying. He said, I never saw Torah like this in my life. No one ever showed me anything like this. This type of Torah, this language is totally unfamiliar to me. And Rav Shach said, I wish I could, you know, delve more into this, but at this stage of my life, I can't. Like, my not that my trajectory is set and like I'm too stubborn to, I just like I have different responsibilities. I wish I had more life and more energy and more time. And I'm sure that Ratzon translated into Rav Shach, you know, in the Olam HaEmes, sitting with Rav Tzadok, learning B'Chavrusa. Right, if I could be so presumptuous or say something crazy like that. But he said, I can't, but this is beautiful. And this is a whole different language of spirituality, of Ruchnius, of Torah, of God, that no one taught me this language. So it's not crazy that the Rambam went his whole life and never had access. We have to realize how lucky we are. We have to pause and be so appreciative that we're living in a door, we're living in a time, we're living in a world where we are zocha to these things. Where we have. We have Torah's Baal Shem Tov. Right? And we have access to these svarim. And we have tzaddikim who are, again, taking Kabbalah and, I don't want to use the word diluting because diluting sounds like they're cheapening it. Right? But they're koshering. They're taking these concepts and they're making them accessible so that we can live with them in Avodas Hashem. So that I can be a better Jew and I can beat my Yetzahara more often because Hashem is more alive and more real. And I understand the Metzias of Einod Movado in a deeper and better way. Right? It's a different language that we're Zochet to speak in our world today. And that's a big bracha. So again, it could be the Rambam got it at the end of his life, and he was tremendously happy, and he celebrated it. He celebrated it, and he told his Talmidim that they should get involved with this. And then he quotes here. I'm not going to read the whole thing inside. He quotes a long letter from the Rambam, or supposedly from the Rambam. Again, many questions. It doesn't really sound like Rambam language. Maybe one of the students of the Rambam wrote it. But he quotes this long letter here saying that, again, the Rambam wrote this letter, that there were many things that were hidden from me, and I adopted many philosophical approaches to things. But now that all of a sudden I've discovered Kabbalah, things are starting to make a lot more sense. He writes in the bottom, like the last line of page Lamed Beis. Ach eitzel chochmas ha-kabbalah ha-mitis. Again, he's quoting, this is Maharam al-Ashkar in a tshuva, quoting supposedly a letter from the Rambam to his students. Right, that I finally, now that I have the authentic Kabbalistic tradition, top of page Lamed Gimel, misukalim me'avne ha-michshol. Right, so now all the stumbling blocks have been removed. Now I can finally walk the straight path. No du behem bekalos nimratz komasha tipol tachas gvul ha-saga. All the things that didn't make sense are starting to come together. Right? Or the Rambam says, at least I met people who have a path that's glatt kosher, that's clear, where there's no contradictions. Right? Where I don't have to make up my own explanations of how things work. He writes at the end of the third line, U'miksas drachim lakachti gam ani biyadiyas tiv'i hanimtzos. I also acquired a little bit of the knowledge of these things. The hutru li kol hasveikos shenistapakti ma'am. And it answered so all my doubts, all of the things I never understood, and I tried to make suggestions about. V'niftechu lafanai darchei amavuchos. Right, the Rama who wrote the Mora Nevuchim. What's the Mora Nevuchim? How do you translate Mora Nevuchim? The guide for those who are confused. Right? The Rama says, now that I have Kabbalah, now I'm no longer confused. The Rambam says, right, ironically, now all the pathways that are mavuch, that are all mububal, are open to me. V'nimsu biyodai hamavtechos hachachma, now I finally have the keys. V'abir shalkol ne'ala mimeni. And now it's all open to me. And again, he encourages his students to get involved in this study. Okay, jump to the next paragraph. V'sof davar yiyeh eich shiyeh. So again, Rav Yosef Irgas is not pushing this tradition. You don't have to buy into this tradition. He started off by saying, if you want to believe this tradition, that the Rambam, at the end of his life, changed his tune, fine. There are sources, there are letters, there are things. And he writes, I should just read the last line of the previous paragraph. He says, V'zeh ha-megillah hi nimtzeis iti b'chsivas yad, and I have. He says, I have a handwritten copy of this letter or whatever it is from the Rambam. So, again, I've seen it. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. The bottom line is, v'sof davar, yihyeh eich shiyeh, ein anu tzrichen le'edos harambam alamitas chachmas ha-kabbalah. And this is a really important point. Because sometimes what people will push and say, but how could it be the Rambam didn't know it? So now we have numerous answers to that question. Maybe at the end of his life he did know it. And what he's really arguing at the end here is, and does it really matter if he did or he didn't? Whatever it was, whatever it will be, we don't need the Rambam to testify to the authenticity of Kabbalah for us to believe in the Kabbalistic tradition. We have many, many what? Fine witnesses. Chachamim ugedolim kamo, of equal caliber. Shekiblua v'chizkua umasrua biyadenu dor achar dor. Who passed it on, who received it and passed it on from one generation to the next, of lo yehe ella haravid, harokeach, haramban, harashba, haritva, heidu ala kabbalah matuya beyadenu. They all testify to the Kabbalah as we have it today. Shiva kubelis beyadam on Moshe mipiagvur. It goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. It goes back to Har Sinai. Kakasu b'sifrayim. And I like what he writes here. He says, "Halo yeshdai beedusam v'hoser." Right? It's more than sufficient. Their testimony. It's sufficient and more than enough. And then he writes something which I think is very powerful. A cynical person would find this incredibly not compelling. I find this to be incredibly compelling. Look what he writes: "Ki chalila lahalos al hadas," because God forbid for us to think she'amude ha'ora halalu. I have to make a choice. I have to make the following choice. Let me say it outside. You have to make the following choice. Either the Ritva, the Rashba, the Ramban, the Rokeach, the Ravid, they're making up all this mystical stuff, and they're lying to us, or they're telling us things that you and I maybe don't know a lot about. Maybe even someone as great as the Rambam didn't know a lot about, but they're saying true things. Right? So I have to be prepared. If I'm going to, I always say this about you know, again, Kabbalah and Chassidus. Do you believe the Arizal was lying? Or do you believe that you just don't understand what on earth he's talking about? I'm much more comfortable saying that I just don't have a clue because I'm a katan shebiktanim, and the Arizal was a gadol shebigdolim, right? What's the other option? You can't deny that that Rizal wrote lots of stuff, right? So I have to figure out what do I do with that? It's made up, it's kfira, it's heresy, or I just don't have the keys yet. Chalila lahalos aladas. God forbid to think that these pillars of what, of hora, of the mainstream poskim and rishonim hashas, chachamim ukedoshim kemefursam, the Ramban. I've been so blown away just learning Ramban on Chumash. The Ramban is so incredible. The more you delve into his words, and the more you study his life, the more you see this person was such an absolute giant. So if he's telling you, al derech ha'emes, I have a Kabbalistic tradition. So therefore what? So how does a Jew ignore that? God forbid to say, yibadu milibam b'inyon ha'elokus, that they made up different things about godliness. Dvarim shachakira ha'anoshes lo tishpot aleihem. Well, because philosophy doesn't give it its haskama. Because empirical science doesn't say that we can prove it, so therefore it's not true. If the Ramban said it, that's more true than empirical science. It's something you can prove in a lab. I believe I'm with the Ramban over something you can prove to me empirically, scientifically, rationally, through something you could show me with my own eyes. I'm more with the Ramban. They testified, we have this tradition. He says, even a really bad Jew wouldn't, you and I wouldn't start making up stuff about God and claiming that. So the Ramban says, this is the real Mesorah of what, you know, what Torah is, secrets of Torah are about. Then we have to be mekabel that. Even no Russia would make these things up. All the more so, tzaddikim of this caliber would never make these things up. Now, some people would say, "Oh, I mean, anyone who's going to make up a religion is going to, you know, he's going to try to position himself in such a way that people will say, like, he's such a good guy, he wouldn't make this stuff up." But the Ramban of Parshas Ve'eschanan says the strength of the Mesorah is that we trust our parents. So a cynical person will say, well, maybe if I'm a Christian, I would trust my Christian parents and I believe in Yashka. Right? But to me, the proof is in the, you know, in the pudding. Like, who are the people involved? Who I don't know. Get to know them. Get to know the leaders of Torah. And then make a decision. Do you think that they have something real to offer? Do they have a real Masara? Are they making stuff up? Are they studying it? Are they dedicating their life to teaching us the word of Hashem? So, I don't know. That's what he says. Okay. Fine, let's keep going for a second. We only have 5 minutes left. Go to the top of page Lamed Daled. Third line. Uvesefer HaKuzari. The Kuzari writes, and again, this is somewhat an attack on the Rambam. Because how did the Rambam deal? He's going to write in this paragraph. And again, some of us will learn it. Those who learn it together in the morning, we'll learn it in a couple of weeks. The Ramban in Parshas Vayera goes, he really rips into the Rambam, because the Rambam starts taking Pesukim in the Torah and starts explaining them in ways that you don't have to. If you have a deeper understanding of reality, you don't have to explain it this way. So, for example, when Avram has angels come to visit him at the entrance of his tent at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, question: did Avram really have angels come to visit him at the entrance of his tent, and he's serving them food? Were they angels who took on physical form and looked like Arabs? Yes or no? Dream. So the Rambam says it's a dream. Right? I mean, he just had his bris. It was a hot day. Right? He was probably a little out of it, and he was dreaming that he was serving food to angels. And when Yaakov gets into a fight with Saroshal Esav, with a malach, Was he really fighting some angelic being? That's what the pasuk sounds like. That's how Rashi, that's how Chazal learned it. Comes along the Rambam, no, he had a dream. He was fighting an angel in his dream. And did Bilam actually have a talking donkey? Rambam? No. It was Nevuah. The Ramban is so angry in all those places. You'll see, it appears several times throughout the Ramban and Chumash. Why do you have to say that? Was Kriyas Yamsuf a dream? Was Dam Tzvardeya Kinam Arov a dream? Was Kabbalah Satorah a dream? I mean, where do you draw the line? Right? At some point, you have to believe in something that defies Aristotle's brain. So the Kuzari writes, and I guess we'll end with this. Let's just get to the end of Os Yud Gimel. The Kuzari writes in the third line on page Lamed Daled, Amnam zacharti lecha ha'aschalo sa'ela. Shelo tavhilcha ha'filosofia. Don't be, the Kuzari says, don't be misled by philosophy. Because when you enter into the world of philosophy, everything's supposed to like nicely and neatly come together. Right? That's like what philosophy, at least certain philosophy of the ancient world, tried to solve everything. Right? Later philosophers mock that, even the notion of trying to solve everything, and we got more comfortable with the paradox. But without the Torah Hashem Tamima, you can't get to the Emes. So you might be enticed by philosophy to think that if I go down the philosophical path, then everything's going to snap together nice and neat. But he says, don't do that. It's a terrible idea. It's not going to work. It's not going to go. He says, no two philosophers are going to agree. He says about six lines down. Right? No two philosophers agree on anything. And you can't, don't try to fit it into Chazal. Just say, no, I don't need to take on their approach. You need to make a mockery out of the psukim. This is all these crazy things to just try to read the Chumash. Why would I want to do that? Halo Tira, see for yourself. Since they've established as one of their core principles that an angel can't take on physical form, so therefore when the pasuk says the angels came to Avram Avinu, they say no, there were no angels who appeared to Avram and Elon Amri. And what do they say instead? It was all in a dream. It was all in a nevuah. Yaakov gets into a fight with a malach. Right? That's how we would all learn it. That's what Rashi and Chumash says. That's Pashup. Rashi says, I come to say Pshat. That's Pashup Pshat. It was a malach. He fought a malach. No, lo hayu b'hakitz kiim b'mar nevuah. He wasn't awake. It was all in a dream. V'chein inyan Bilam v'divrei ha'ason. Bilam and his talking donkey. Again, all mar nevuah. He says, look in the Rambam, where the Rambam, again, espouses such an idea. V'chol elu advarim v'peirushim heim soisrei ha'kosuv. Lo Sisrei HaTorah. It contradicts the Pasuk, not the secrets of the Torah. The secrets of the Torah are the true interpretation of these Pasukim. V'asr l'shomam, and you should not listen to them. And that's what the Ramban says. Don't listen to the Rambam. He's yelling out, don't fall for that. Don't get involved with that. That's not the way to go. All right, and he ends again the last paragraph. He ends the last paragraph by saying, again, so many stories in Chazal. So many teachings of our prophets. So many psukim in our Chumash. If you're going to try to take the philosophical approach to try to snap it all together, it's just Plato's going to contradict Aristotle, Aristotle's going to contradict Plato, and nothing's going to work. So therefore, he concludes, he says, rather, each one made his own religion, his own emunah, and none of that's going to help us. None of that's going to help us. We have to find the true tradition. So he'll ask next time in Os Yud Daled, it'll continue with the question, but sometimes you see ideas in Kabbalah that are so strange. And now we're done picking on the Rambam, and we're going to start picking on ourselves a little bit. Right, because we are uneducated. Get an education. And none of it will be strange. And he's going to tell us next time, everything is strange until you understand how it works. An airplane flying in the sky, that's not strange. I don't know how that works. A big metal box flying in the sky, how's that possible? How's that work? You go back before the time of air travel, and you tell people one day, This heavy metal box is going to be flying in the sky, propelled by some little... It's not possible until you understand the principles that make it possible. So the same thing is true with anything. Don't just pick on Kabbalah. You can't understand Tosos unless you know how to learn Tosos. Okay, so a lot of it we're going to see. You have to have a certain humility to be open to these ideas. But again, he's starting off very strong, saying this is the authentic Torah tradition. All right, we should be zocha to be on the team of those who are makabel this tradition. Okay, shlach. Valdik.